the relationship had ended when I devoted myself to researching narcissism. There are also things I learned from counseling, therapists, and other survivors scattered throughout this audiobook, too. What will you cover in this book? I begin by explaining who I am and giving you a little more context about my situation in an abusive relationship. I'll go on to explain my understanding of malignant narcissism and how you can recognize a malignant narc. I'll outline the dangers of being involved with a malignant, as well as offering you my findings of what makes the perfect victim for a narcissist. I also go on to discuss leaving an abusive narcissist, as well as the dangers associated with this, and how to navigate this dangerous territory safely. I discuss trauma bonding, and how this can often tie us to the abusive relationship. Finally, I have a chapter dedicated to healing from the trauma and abuse associated with being in a relationship with a malignant narcissist. Hopefully, I've answered any questions you may have, and now you're certain that this is the audiobook for you. If so, thank you for listening, and I'm glad that you chose this audiobook. I hope it helps to offer you some hope, guidance, and knowledge, as well as a comforting sense of familiarity, a sense that someone has been through what you're going through, but has come out the other side. Here's to healing. Introduction. It's hard to explain how I got caught in the net of narcissism. My ex, a malevolent, malignant narcissist, snared me in his web of abuse, and I couldn't find a way out for such a long time. It's hard to explain this to most people, because I'm met with frustrating responses, like, why didn't you just leave him? Or, why didn't you just tell your parents what was going on? If you're listening to this audiobook, I'm going to assume that you know as well as I do, simply just leaving a narcissist isn't as easy as people try to make it out, let alone someone as evil as a malignant narcissist. What people don't understand is that abusers don't unmask themselves as evil, vicious, and spiteful from the get-go. Abusers, just like mine, will shower you with affection and attention in the beginning. They'll make you feel special. They'll charm their way into your affection and be committed to earning your trust. They'll appear, to you and everyone else around you, as perfect. When I began dating my abusive ex, I felt like I was on cloud nine. I'd wonder how I got so lucky. Things were moving fast with him, but I wasn't worried. He had rapidly gained my trust, and I was fine with how quickly our relationship had developed. Within a few months, he told me he loved me, and we'd moved in together. My little bubble of happiness soon burst, though. My ex would have terrible mood swings. He'd dangle his love for me over my head, using my adoration for him as a way to manipulate me into doing things that he wanted me to do. He would become enraged with me at the slightest thing, calling me all the names under the sun for offenses I'd apparently committed against him. Whilst he was always somewhat possessive over me, this got a lot worse. When we started dating, his slight possessiveness was something I'd mistaken for protectiveness. I thought he was protecting me from bad friends or men who had bad intentions for me. It was comforting and endearing that he was looking after me and my feelings. However, it soon transpired that his overprotectiveness was instead sheer possessiveness, and he started ramping this up by accusing me of being a cheat and telling me I was untrustworthy. He also questioned where I was spending my money. He would check my bus ticket when I got home from work to check what time I got on the bus home. The bus journey home took around 20 minutes, and if the timestamp on the bus ticket was over this time limit, he would accuse me of all kinds of things that I would be doing behind his back in those extra minutes. The bad treatment was ramped up even further around the fifth month of the relationship. The cruel treatment didn't just happen overnight. It was a gradual thing, and the cruel, humiliating treatment was also mixed with glimmers of the man I fell in love with, as he would also tell me that he loved me and how much he wanted a great future with me. This confused me. And when he was cruel to me, he was really cruel, but his words of commitment to me would make me believe that it was me who instigated the cruelty he'd bestow on me. He said he wanted to be with me, but I believed it was my actions who drove him to treat me the way he did, so I endured it with this in mind. As I mentioned, around the fifth month was the month he stepped his narcissism up a notch. Humiliating me in front of his friends became something that he took great joy in.